Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolkin count is called Yellow Magnetic Star, and it is the first day of the Yellow Star Wave Spell. It is also the Cosmic Moon Day 4. And that is the 13th moon, the cosmic moon of the 13 moon year. So I want to draw our attention to how we are coming to conclusions in both the 13 moon year and the Zolkin cycle. That'll be our theme today, is to really set you up to understand how things are ending. A double conclusion. And that is not always how the synchronicity works. I mean, certainly we're always going to finish the natural time year, the solar year, the one that represents the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. It's complete always on July 24th. We begin the natural time year, the Mayan year, on July 26th, not obviously January 1st. So always this time, entering July, is when things are winding down, becoming really resolved and simplified in anticipation of a bold, I would say, breakout beginning that will begin in the end of July and go into August. And yet, the Zolkin will start all different times because it's a 260-day cycle, so the way that it rotates or moves through or within, converges with the 13-moon year, is pretty eclectic. I mean, obviously, it's a cycle, so there's a mathematical organization to it, but it feels more random because we don't know probably what to make of a pretty much a 9-month count. It isn't the Earth's orbit around the Sun. We are celebrating gestation in the womb over and over, so it's not really an astral calendar, although I believe that the Maya had their way of calculating some movement in the cosmos that's correlating with gestation in the womb, and also the germination of a seed kernel of corn from, you know, the first instance of planting it all the way to its harvest was 260 days at that time of the ancient civilization in that location of the Maya. So there was something really amazing, auspicious about corn and humans taking the same time to grow and be ready. And so that was how they settled into the Zolkin count. And I'm sorry, I'm not either an astronomer nor a really superlative Mayan ethnographer. I don't go deep into the history. I don't dig into the ruins, even read about them. I pretty much lean on the channeling side of understanding Mayan spirituality. But I'm very organized in how I follow and make estimations based on the Zolkin and 13 moon cycles. So here we are to do that together. Just as we are finishing the year and finishing the Zolkin, we are beginning a new wave spell, the Yellow Star wave spell, and at the beginning of the cosmic moon. This will be our new moon, although it doesn't mean anything to do with the moon in the sky. We're just in a different moon. It's the cosmic moon. Last time I talked, we were in the crystal moon, the 12th moon of the year, and now we're in the 13th moon. And so let me start with describing the energy of the cosmic moon. It is about enduring and transcending presence. Those are Jose Arguelles' three ruminations he offered us, definitely his ideas based on his ethnography and channeling about the 13th tone, which can either be a day, one cosmic day, it can be a moon, the cosmic moon we're in, or it can be a year, and we happen to be in a cosmic year as well. So this entire moon of 28 days is actually called a magic turtle time. Usually we have magic turtle days. A magic turtle day would be a cosmic day within a cosmic year. But now we have this alignment of a whole moon, 28 days long, with a year, 364 days long, and that makes it pretty dynamic. It also really accelerates these qualities of enduring and transcending presence, stacks everything in greater density and velocity if you are looking at one concept through many different lenses. You know, actually, yesterday, which was Saturday, June 29th, was a cosmic day and a cosmic moon and a cosmic year. That's really rare, clearly. That happens very infrequently, twice a year. And so I wish I had been able to draw your attention to that, but we can reflect on it. We'll have another opportunity to experience a cosmic day within the cosmic moon, the cosmic year, and I'll make sure you're prepared. But to endure and transcend presence, whether we're talking about any of these three lengths of time, we're always talking about the same tone. And what we do is we endure discomfort until we transcend it, and then that brings us into the experience fully of presence. When one meditates, because that's my analogy that I use over and over, you endure a certain amount of discomfort, whether you're itchy, or your mind is racing about errands you need to do, or there's anguish in your being, you are still asked to sit still or lay there or walk, whatever form of meditation you're engaged in, and try to empty your mind and be aware of your surroundings in the immediacy of the moment and surrender. And so you work at that. And it finally clicks in, and I would call that the moment of transcendence. And then a lot of people, like transcendental meditational people, would call that the achievement, transcendence. I've transcended suffering. But Jose Arguelles, and then me following like a good disciple, I like to just think of that moment when you lose yourself, whether it is in some way exhilarating, or it just has a stillness and emptiness, that's being present. And again, we're not about meditating per se here. I would say we're living through a calendar that invites life to be a meditation, meditating on the cycles of the Zolk'in and 13 moon calendars. But I'm just using that as a metaphor for what happens on a cosmic day or on a cosmic moon in a cosmic year. There's just going to be suffering or discomfort. You endure it, and then it breaks in some way. You transcend it, and then you really get to experience what it's like being here now. And I want to talk about that, because maybe more than you, I've been in a place of following the cosmic tone since the beginning of the year, because I have been, of course, aware that it's a cosmic year, and I really saw the aptitude, the capacity for me to be present increase as we move through moon after moon of challenge and setback, and me hanging in with it with awareness, trying to find my sense of a deity or divinity, my God force, because that's really an anchor for meditation of any kind, and just coming back to what is. And here I am at the end in the cosmic moon of the cosmic year, and I can't do anything that's not in the present moment. Like, my brain won't function outside of this moment, and this moment could be the whole day. But if someone says, what do you want to do tomorrow, I'd be like, I don't know that I can estimate. It's not like excellence. It's just being caught in natural time. I think I'm excellent at falling into the trappings of natural time, where now I don't know how to be in the past so much or the future. I can just be here now as effectively as possible. That will change when we move out of the cosmic year, the cosmic moon. I mean, that's my experience. I don't want to sell you on all this being actual and authentic, but I experience it that way. I absolutely do. And I'm a really pretty cynical person. I have a lot of trauma in my history that makes me guarded and pitted maybe against the positive aspects of faith, but I have been broken by the synchronicity of the natural time calendars. So where you can yourself go is just seeing if maybe you're more tripped out. You know, being in the moment can feel very much like being high. So if you feel that, not just disassociation, a little detachment though, floating feeling, that the world isn't linear, that it is more, not more colorful. I'm not looking for exact kind of LSD experiences. I'm just thinking about when people say it's so cosmic, man. It's a good word for the cosmic tone. What that means is being one with the cosmos. You know, I'm cosmic, this is cosmic. It means that we're bigger than this earth realm and the shoes we wear and the car we drive, all these manifestations of a human mind. We are in a much greater atmospheric experience that is probably more divine by nature, more cosmic, one with the cosmos, not one with humanity, not one with our family, not one with our job, not one with our material objects, but one with the cosmos. And, you know, maybe one with other beings that are pretty cosmic, either always or are just also in this time tripping out. I'm thinking of my dogs because my dogs are pretty out there. They're not like better than other dogs, but I just think by living in the natural time household, they also fall into Zolk'in synchronistic experience. And yeah, it's a time to enjoy because it's sort of a time out of time. The cosmic tone is the aftermath, the afterbirth, the aftershock of the other 12 tones where the action is, where the work is. And then we get a bit of a break. Sometimes that can feel frustrating because it's not action. You know, like, wait, I was just so active and now everything is like a vacation or it's amorphous. I can't get traction. But we'll have plenty of traction in the new magnetic moon of a magnetic year. I mean, it's going to take off when we begin our new year, because it's the beginning of a 13-year cycle and it's going to be busy for years. And so this is a pause. This is a pacing that works differently than busy activity. And I'm sorry if that's uncomfortable, but try to find the things that work well in that kind of an atmosphere. Being one with the cosmos. What are you good at when you're one with the cosmos? Here's some ideas. You're probably good at gardening because plants are one with the cosmos more directly. They don't have clothing and bills to pay. And then you can be out in nature pretty effectively. You can be in the ocean if you live near it or other bodies of water that are responsive to the seasons and warming up, or, you know, rolling tidally with the moon phases. You can have an authentic vacation, the kind that is letting go of your everyday drag, the thing that you gotta do that's post-industrial and technological, and be with something more primal. And, you know, if you're following natural time with any conviction as a beginner or a long timer, like, pay attention to this. This is epic. We're completing a 13-year cycle. Be awake for it. The red moon wave spell of 13 years, purification. You might want to be back in the water at this penultimate moment of red moon, which is all about water. I'm kind of committing to that. And yeah, I'm getting emotional the 13-year cycle that we've been through about purifying our lives and purifying our planetary experience has been quite the ride. It feels really dirty in a certain way right now. It's full of conflict. It's full of bad news, foreboding about climate change. And yet it has been a purification that's undeniable if you ascribe to this path. And it's kind of nice in the cosmic moment of oneness and tripping out to spin that backwards and go, well, what has been purified? What has been purified if so much is in tumultuous chaos, feels dark? Is it cleaner? Perhaps it's been baptismal. And then now the work begins in a different direction. That's actually a little bit of prophetic insight, not that I'm a prophet, but it feels different than just teaching for a moment here, is to say, possibly we've just been through this incredibly rigorous cleansing because we're shifting directions and we had to be born out of water, born out of a deep cleansing, scrubbing of ourselves so that we could focus on the new direction and be effective in it. I think I'm being optimistic, and I said I was cynical, and that's true, but I think, oh, well, an optimistic way to look at all the fervor, the fury, which feels like fire, not water, of the last couple of years is to say, we're going to have to do things differently now. It's real. It's serious. There are warnings of end times, and we have to approach them differently than we have up until now. I'll continue to talk about the cosmic moon and the cosmic year ending all of the podcasts until it does. But let's change our focus to the Zolkin calendar and yellow magnetic star. Today is the beginning of our new wave spell. Yesterday was the end of Blue Eagle. That was a long wave spell. It was very luxurious. It was nice. For me, there is a really beautiful different kind of vacation. I mean, I'm clearly focused on summer vacation. I apologize. I don't know what I'm being nostalgic and I'm having a summer vacation after working really hard for a long time. But we had the white wind wave spell and then the blue eagle and now yellow star. And I said in the last podcast, I want to remind you that white wind is like a current that we launch ourselves onto. We take flight with white wind and then that turns us into blue eagle. Blue Eagle goes all the way to the highest air current where things aren't really windy. They're just absolutely in uplift. And then Yellow Star just takes us right out of the atmosphere into the galaxy. And, you know, I'm just telling you that like a poem. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's real. It's just an incredible feeling of fluidity. Like, oh, well, there's this wind. I just caught a ride on it. Now I've turned into a bird. Oh, and now I'm a star. I am the essence of everything. I'm the spark. And I want to remind you that when we are following the Mayan calendar here, you and I, in what we call 2019 by the Gregorian count, we are not trying to hone in on the Maya who live today in the Mayan territories. I'm against that perspective because I am not of that DNA. You can if you are, and you can if you're not, but I don't do that. Instead, I emphasize that when I speak about the Zolkin and I align myself with that, I put myself out there to teach it, its cycles, its trajectories. I am attuned to the ascended Maya. And those are credible to me, spirits living in the sky, that maybe they were the inspiration for the living Maya in the time when the Mayan civilization was at its peak and all this research on cycles and astronomy was being recorded. Or maybe it is the very scientists and astronomers of that time who were decimated by colonization or otherwise died and levitated in the sky and become guides, their spirit guides. Either way or both, I am constantly in relationship with something that's astral and forms part of my, what I would call a God force. I think that I do believe in one primary, parental, non-gender-oriented divinity, and the Maya called that Hunabku, and I call it God. But I absolutely believe that there is a presence out there that gives you all this synchronicity, that makes your life in alignment with Mayan teachings when you suspend your disbelief and follow these calendars, because there's an energy field attached to us preserving it and living through it. And so the ascended Maya to me are the star people, and we're in their time. So that's why I think the Zolk'in ends in yellow star, and that there is that air that takes us in white wind up into the atmospheric outer reaches on Blue Eagle, and then we get to be in the stars and join the ascended masters of Mayan teachings, of Mayan astronomy, of Mayan spirituality for a time. And then we come back. We're birthed again in the red dragon wave spell, which follows this one, which begins the Zolk'in every time. Yellow star has attributes. When we hit it on a yellow star day, it is about art and elegance and to beautify. That would be the verb, the action. I'm going to beautify in yellow star. And you can notice here on yellow magnetic star, if your life is being drawn towards simple acts of beautifying, it could be that you dressed nicely without having a reason and without paying attention until now. You notice, like, yeah, I put on jewelry even though it's a Sunday and I'm at home. Or I decided to wear a dress or a dress shirt. Or you are really interested in making the house clean and beautiful, or the yard. Or you're out shopping because suddenly you want to acquire something. You're like a crow. You want to go find a dazzling jewel to put in your nest. But beauty, just the quality of beauty as we understand it universally, things that are pretty, things that are decorative, things that spark our attention and inspire us because we like how they look, it's harmonious. That is very much the yellow star modality. And differently, I think, another way to offer this perspective, I'm curious to see how this wave spell will play out with both of these ideas in mind. The Maya, originally, I think had a different version of beauty than even José Arguelles. I did run into some research that would be more authentically Mayan, and that yellow star, describing yellow star as an emblem for war, because war was a place of true beauty, that the actions of a warrior in preparation, decorating themselves for battle, and then bravely entering it. It's a call to war versus the war itself, I would say. That yellow star is the indication of the sanctity and the importance, the draw, the art of entering war. And that was because it's reverence for Venus in the sky. So I guess the way we're extrapolating this is if Venus had a strong presence in the sky, that might be when the warriors decide to go and be in the offense or defense of some territorial face-off. But we're talking about all the ways they decorate themselves for war in ancient times, especially. And we're not even talking about that ancient, but just before everyone started wearing perhaps uniforms, there were war paint and plumage and trying to look like animals or trying to look invisible or trying to be scary like a brightly plumed bird. You know, that is why the male has all the plumage colors and the female looks like the colors of a nest or dirt or a bush, because the male wants to be big and large and bold and scary to the predators that are chasing him. The female doesn't want to be seen. So men preparing for battle, if we're talking about genders or gender roles that are more ancient than current, men had all this permission and all this reason to be bright and bold and beautiful when they prepared for battle. So I guess maybe the way I want to come in the middle of this archetypal presentation is. It's not about beauty that's delicate and precious and clean and tidy. It's not a picture of beauty that's reserved. It's a picture of beauty that is empowered and virile and vital and like flowers and birds and animals. In other words, when we walk into nature and we see things that are bold, stand out, they catch our eye, they inspire us, we're in awe. That's what we are like now. You don't have to go to war, but if you have war in your life and this time, I'm telling you it's okay. It's not your fault. You can be beautiful and in some kind of a scrappy experience. I don't want anyone to feel they're failing the yellow star test if they are ready to fight for something. However, that said, I do believe in the cosmic moon, although there's enduring and you could endure conflict, it is very much a winding down. There's really no way for both the Zolkin and the 13 moon year to come to conclusion without things feeling like they're inactive, winding down, finishing up, entering completion. If there was going to be the big Deus Ex Machina, which is that gesture in plot arcs of right before the end of the movie or the play or the book, some giant thing happens and changes everything so it can resolve. That is not what the cosmic moon is. That can happen in the crystal moon, though, and it's behind us. In the cosmic moon, in the last wave spells of the Zolkin, I think we're getting, as I keep saying, tripped out, that the resolution is that we're not part of anything that has a specific framework, either an earthen one or a human one. You know, we're bigger than that. We're closer to the cosmos in both of the calendars right now. And that's really beautiful. So once again, this year and this 13-year cycle will end on July 24th. And this wave spell and this Zolkin cycle of 260 days will end on July 12th. So on July 13th, we're going to have the beginning of the Zolkin, and then just 10 or actually 13 days later exactly, we'll have the beginning of the new year and the new 13-year wave spell. And that will be celebrating White Wizard. I am going to just go through the days to come. If today's yellow magnetic star, magnetic, we're attracting our purpose for the 13 days, and really only the 13 days. It's not more complicated. What is my purpose for this yellow star time? I just gave you a bunch of ideas of what it could be, and then check and see what your truth is. What do you attract today? You attract your purpose. You don't decide your purpose. It comes to you. You find it almost like finding a lost animal. Like, oh, well, I need to take care of this. This just found its way into my life. And tomorrow, we say on the lunar day, red lunar moon, what is my challenge then? This is my purpose. It came to me yesterday. Well, what within that is challenging? I always try to explain it this way. Today, yellow magnetic star, you are attracting your challenge as well. If it's a challenging day on a magnetic day, you're not crazy. You're not ahead of yourself. On the lunar day, the second tone, you just identify it. You already have it from the magnetic day. You just identify it. And you probably have it from before the magnetic day. It doesn't matter when you got it. It's going to be the challenge of the wave spell, and you find out what it is on the lunar day tomorrow, red lunar moon, Monday, July 1st, 1st of July. Doesn't mean anything to me. it's a new month. Doesn't mean anything to me. Thanks for listening. I'm not against it being July. It doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing on this moment together. But I will notate that tomorrow is a red moon day. You know a lot about red moon because I just told you about it this podcast and so many others, because red moon has been the theme for 13 years. It is the theme for this year. It is the theme for tomorrow, Monday, July 1st. It is about purification. it's about water, water, bodies of water that we can go and sit in, bodies of water that fill the faucet of our sink. It's a bathtub, and we are bodies of water. We are bodies that are so fluid, so responsive to lunar forces. So red lunar moon is really kind of a doubling of energy in and of itself. It's a day of red moon, talking about the tidal experiences we have in our bodies and we see in the bodies of water on the planet, how the moon and water interact. That's red moon always. Red moon is also just about water without thinking about the moon. It's both. It's the water and the water interacting with the moon. Lunar is clearly the moon, but we use the word lunar to talk about the second tone because it is where we see shadow and light. And our moon teaches us that, that the moon is up there in the sky and sometimes it's all light and sometimes it's all shadow. And then it has variations, just like life, just like life. Life is never all light. We would burn up. We are not God. If God is the sun, God is all light. We are not. I act like I'm telling you something really important or that I thought of, but I think it's just my biggest emphasis as a spiritualist. It is just in a new age atmosphere, which I am by accident or default. You can't have only abundance. You can't have only light. That's not fair. That's like being a 1% billionaire. You have to come at light and love through socialist awareness that we want to share it. So the lunar tone is teaching us what is shadow in my life and what is light. What is my purpose? It's fire, it's light. What is my challenge? What is the shadow? What do I not know about myself? What do I not know about someone else? What's in the dark, in the shadow? I'm going to go there. I have a light reserve. You know, I'm also using the light reserve to shine into the darkness. I'm doing this because that makes me ever evolving, expanding, finding out where darkness lies and going towards it. It means that we are having our heart open to people that hold darkness. That's the teaching of lunar, the moon in the sky with shadow and light, and how that correlates, I think, to this whole idea in natural time through the tones, both calendars, accepting that we are going to have challenges and we're going to use these challenges to grow. Because a challenge, you know, linguistically is like, I challenge you to do something that you don't want to do or don't know how to do. It's not a death blow. It's not an injury. It's an invitation to grow and evolve. And that's what we do on the lunar day. And then on Tuesday, July 2nd, bearing down on our big holidays now, we have white electric dog and the electric day. It's kind of like a manufactured power surge. I mean, it sounds like it, electric. That comes from a plug. But what I like about Electric Day is that it is an articulation. It's an everyday word describing how we get our power from a higher power, you know, the big utility plant in the sky. It's where we plug in. So Electric Day is when our sense of a higher power helps us with this purpose and challenge that has arisen in the first days. I love it. I love natural time. I love the tones. They're all different things to love, but please know that I'm so passionate about the reality of the beginning of a wave spell. When we attract our purpose, we identify there's a challenge within it. We accept the challenge. We get ready to move on. And then instantly on the electric day, the electric moon, the electric year, we are shown that there's going to be some help from a very powerful source to deal with challenge, to enable our purpose, to show our strength in the world. And that we get our strength from this source. We don't have to try to find the strength in ourselves. And really, that's egotistical. Don't just be a channel for the strength. And what I am doing in my teaching of natural time is offering you the invitation to believe that you can channel, just like you perceive that people channel masterfully and, you know, make a career out of being a channel. This is amateur hour channeling, where you get to find your truth because it comes through you from somewhere greater. And the tones that we follow and the tribes that we pass through are helping us with that exercise. You can look up your birthdays at resonanttruth.com. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And Mayan we say.